Welcome back, everybody.
I am really excited to discuss what we're discussing today.
I'm Austin.
And I'm Kiara.
And we're not going to waste your time. We're just going to get into it. We are going to waste your time quickly. At the end of the year, we are going to be reading your reviews
of albums and songs that have come out this year.
So you can write your reviews, make them funny,
Yeah.
And you can send them to us at thepopdaydreams@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to pick the best ones and we're going to read them aloud at the end of the year.
And New Year's Eve is my favorite holiday, so please make it fun. So yeah.
That was our little promo. Now we can get into it.
Okay, yeah. So obviously the two things that have come out in the last week are Beyonce, Black is King, and Taylor Swift, Folklore. So sorry to anyone else, but that's what we're talking about today.
There's a few other things that we know have come out, but we'll save that for next week.
We don't even want to waste your time. We just need to get into it. Like, there's just so much to say.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with Folklore because we're saving the best for last.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first of all, the bitch is crazy and just wrote a masterpiece during quarantine.
Out of nowhere.
Only person that we knew of doing that is Charlie. But Charlie told us. So to everyone's complete surprise, last Thursday, July 23rd, Taylor Swift was like, I'm just gonna fuck up the girls. She was like, by the way, hey, new album tomorrow. Like, what? And everyone went crazy, obviously. I woke up at like 8:30 and I go on Twitter and everyone's like, Taylor Swift announced a new album. And I was like, did I just miss that last night? It turns out the bitch announced it like 30 minutes prior. So I was like, oh my God.
It was like morning.
Yeah, it was literally like 8 o'clock.
I saw one person tweet about it or someone post on Instagram. Someone posted the cover on Instagram. I saw like the cover twice. There was no like caption or anything. So I just saw this girl in the woods. And I was like, interesting.
You thought that it was just like a picture of her.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I guess a lot of people are talking about this woods girl. I don't know what's going on. But then I go on Twitter where people are talking and I realize, wait a minute, she's coming back.
So I think this is the shortest amount of time that she's put out two albums. I'm pretty sure that she followed a strict every 2 year rule. Not a strict, but like it was very like repetitive, like it happened.
Yeah.
But Lover came out last August, so this is a surprise, especially for Swifties, because like I said, everyone's so used to her following the every 2 year rule. So they're probably like fucked up.
Yeah. Everyone go check on your local Swifties. Go check to make sure that they're okay.
When it came out, I automatically was like, okay, so I need the vinyl. Like I wanted to buy it before I heard it because I was like, I already know I'm going to like it.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't end up doing that, but I wish I did because I was right. And we just need to get right into it. So the one, I usually don't listen to a song over again if I'm listening to an album for the first time, but I had to hear it again.
Yeah, you had to go back to the beginning.
Like, it was crazy. Because I was literally like, wait. Everyone calm down. What's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was one of the people who thought that she was breaking up with her boyfriend. Because, like, no one knew what it was about at 12:01. So, like, I was doing it in real time. And me and everyone else on Twitter were like, wait. Is she breaking up with her boyfriend? and you know, then we realized. But this one, the first time I heard it, I cried. The very first time. Like, uh-huh. That does not happen a lot. And a week later, I think it's still in my top three.
All right.
Yeah, I love this song. I think that it's incredible. And it makes me feel such a specific feeling. But I know that everyone feels the same way. And it's just like, this woman has just a knack for talking about relationships. It's just crazy. Anyway,
that's what I was wondering also when I was listening to it for the first time, because I was like, okay, it's named Folklore. How much of this is about her and how much of it is just stories?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I love this song. Do you like the song?
I do. I like all the songs. There's not a bad song on this album.
No, period. You're right. Let me move on to period again. Cardigan. This song, y'all. Okay. This song took my breath away, like, the first time I heard it. Like, I literally don't know how to articulate how much I love this song.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been so caught off guard by something. Like, especially with, like, the one. But I don't know why, like, with the one I was like, okay. Because it's kind of, like, Lover-esque. Like, Lil Wayne could have been on Lover. I would believe that. Uh-huh. But Cardigan, for some reason, just like, ooh, I don't know. I just love, I think this may be my favorite Taylor Swift song, which is crazy because for like, I don't know, like 6 years, my favorite Taylor Swift song was Back to December. Yeah. A week ago, my favorite Taylor Swift song was Back to December.
And then that all changed.
Yeah, like this bitch. Like the fact that a week ago we didn't even know this thing existed.
Not much going on at the moment. Lies.
Lies!
Ugh. The whole album, I just am so taken back by just the entire project.
Mm-hmm.
It's, Cardigan is very emotional, the way, like, her delivery of the vocals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very different than all of her past, even like her country stuff and her pop stuff. It feels just more connected, almost.
Yeah.
I feel like it resonates a little bit more.
It's interesting. I mean, it makes sense that this is the single, like this is the lead single or whatever, but it's just interesting because it's like, it doesn't sound like any other Taylor Swift single ever. And I think that's mm-hmm. really cool. And I think it's just crazy that like that happened. And like, I like that you said it's emotional. I think that's a good word to describe this album, is emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. Other highlights for me. I listened to this album one time and I cried, right? Uh-huh. And then the next day I was like, we have to do it again. And then I listened to it again and sobbed. And then I said, okay, you know what? Maybe we gotta stop.
You're gonna dehydrate yourself.
Yeah. And so then I was like, okay, so then I just would casually, and I'm saying all this at this point in the story, we're like day three, and I'm acting like this album's been out for like years. And I'm like, mm-hmm. so now I'm just gonna like listen to like the certain songs that I really like so far, and that's the whole thing, because I just like can't. But when I did that, I was unintentionally like ignoring the like second half of the album.
Uh-huh.
And so after revisiting those songs, I would have to say that Peace is like an outlier for me. Like, I think that because I think that it sounds, I don't know if I would say it sounds the most different of like all the songs, but there's just something about it that's very, I guess the word is stripped down, but like raw about it. Like, it's just very simple. I just think that there's something just so striking about it. And it just forces you to listen to what she's saying. Yeah. And what she's saying is, I think, is like, would I be enough for you if when you're dating me, you're never going to have like a secret life or like all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's similar to the things that she talks about in Reputation, about like what, like her boyfriend being like her like savior in a way. And like their whole relationship was just in secret, but knowing that, it is a little interesting that she says that, like, she implies that like they won't ever like be out of the spotlight and like blah 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 blah. But we really don't know much about their relationship.
No, really
think about it.
And because it's on Folklore, we don't even really know how much of it is about her.
True. Yeah, which is smart. Which is interesting and smart. I don't know if that was intentional, if like she wanted it to make it ambiguous. So I mean, actually, no, it was intentional. But I don't know if the reason was so she could be like, this isn't about my relationship, so whatever. Like, I don't know. I think it's just, it's conveniently ambiguous.
Yeah. And that's also so different for her because, especially like her self-titled and mm-hmm. Fearless, she would talk about those as if those were her diary.
Mm-hmm.
While this is like her Bible.
Interesting, yeah, interesting way to put it. I think that Exile also caught me off guard because it was a man singing, and I was like, I remember being like, wait, whoa, who is this? I think Exile is one of my favorites too. The second half of that song is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so sad. Well, it's not sad, it's I feel like all of these songs represent such a specific emotion, which is so cool.
They have like very blatant themes
mm-hmm.
that people can identify with. They're little stories. They're each like little stories.
I know, and it's just like, I think this, I think I'm saying it right now, this album is a masterpiece. I'm sorry, it really is, because the amount of, to pull something off like this in such a short amount of time, you have to be talented. Yeah. And at the very least, you cannot like Taylor Swift, but you have to acknowledge that she's a very talented songwriter. Like, she yeah. just knows how to construct songs in a way that is just so organic and so effortless, kind of.
Mm-hmm. This is the album that will make people that don't like Taylor Swift like Taylor Swift. This is the album that if you don't like it just because you don't like Taylor Swift, that's going to make you look foolish.
Yeah, this like this is going to be her one album, I would say, that like objectively people are going to like.
Yeah.
Like, so I was reading the NPR article, and they said that this album sounds like it's coming from someone who's been freed. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really compelling and interesting because, yeah, this is Taylor not having to prove anything. Yeah. And I think that, like, we thought that that was kind of where she was with Lover, but, like, not really, because we have songs like The Man and we have songs like, you know, You Need to Calm Down and yeah. stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this is her first actual genuine, like, I don't give a fuck if anyone listens to this. I don't give a fuck what people say about it. I make this because I love it, and I'm not trying to be anything that I'm yeah. not. And I think that that is really cool. And I think that it's, like, for people who aren't fans of Taylor Swift, like, it's easy to just, like, overlook what she's doing. Because, I mean, like, I get it. Like, if you don't like her, like, it's very easy nowadays to just, like, never hear about her, really, or, like, never listen to her music. Like, that's fine.
Uh-huh.
But I think people have this image of her as, like, the girl who always talks about her relationships, the girl who had the feud with Kanye West, the girl, you know, like,
yeah.
who's had these really big instances with the press. So a lot of people don't really know her, and so people are surprised that she released an album that's, like, this mature sounding.
Mm-hmm.
She has cemented herself now in the eyes of, like, the general public as, like, a legend at this point, I think.
Yeah.
Like, everyone kind of was on the same page that, like, she was a pop legend and, like, she's this really huge, important, like, pop girl.
Mm-hmm.
But now that she kind of, like, brought it all together, like,
it shows that she's musically talented. Like, she's not just good at
yeah.
making something that's popular and something that the general public will like and something that your kids will be singing. Like, this is a, I feel that it's not a stretch to say that objectively this is a beautiful work of art.
Yeah. I agree. I think that, like, anyone listening to this and, like, comes out of it, like, not liking it, I just genuinely would be confused. I mean, I think that, like, I would understand if it's just, like, not your type of music, but yeah. I think, like, even then, I feel like someone listening to this needs to recognize that it might not be the type of music that you want to listen to all the time, but as for what it is, like, a masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have to touch a little bit on the folklore part of it.
Yeah.
The three songs that everyone talked about being them being in the same storyline are Cardigan, August, and Betty.
The whole theorized story is that it's three different perspectives on a love triangle.
I think that she's kind of said everything without saying that this story is, like, kind of like the same dynamic as Peter Pan, Tinkerbell, and Wendy, because she mentions Peter and Wendy in Cardigan.
Uh-huh.
And in the music video for Cardigan, there's, like, pixie dust and stuff. And if you know the story of Peter Pan, it's, like, very obvious that Tinkerbell is, like, jealous of Wendy. So, but even then, I think it's interesting that Peter Pan is a children's story, which, like, in some, like you could say, it probably, like, is, like, a folktale. Like, no, it is a folktale.
Yeah.
And it's, like, interesting that though that dynamic exists in a folktale that, like, was written all these years ago, and different versions of a love triangle have, like, it's just a thing, like, has been passed down for generations, just like folklore. And I think that that's
mm-hmm.
very smart of her.
Yeah.
which is really cool. And so the pretty much, like, agreed upon consensus of, like, the perspectives of the songs is that Cardigan is from the perspective of Betty, And August is from the perspective of the character Inez. Betty isn't from the perspective of James. And the storyline seems to be that James and Betty were dating, and then James cheats on Betty with Inez.
Mm-hmm. Might have to write that out on a piece of paper and draw that out to make sense of which is which, but... Well, the Los Angeles Times did a whole article that has, like, a compilation of a bunch of theories about this whole album, and that's one of the ones on there, if you're still curious.
I think that the chorus of Betty is so good. Like, I think that, I just think, like, it's just hard to, like, say anything else of just, like, it's just a good song. Like, yeah. She just knows what she's doing, and I feel like with August, it's really interesting to hear a song about the perspective of someone who, like, was, I guess, like, the mistress or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's, like, and it's just so interesting that even though this character is, like, would be considered, like, if you had to pick one, like, well, no, that's not true. Like, people wouldn't say that this character is, like, necessarily, like, a good person because, like, you know, she cheated on whatever.
Yeah.
But in reality, James is the one that is the bad person because he cheated on Betty, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so interesting that, like, even all of that considered, she makes you empathize with Inez because I'm like, it's like the love that Inez felt for James or the feelings that she felt for them was still real.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just like a hard pill to swallow, really. And it's just like Taylor Swift is just one of those people that knows how to make you empathize with people,
mm-hmm.
really, at the core of it. And this album is just incredible. Also, I just want to say, I think that Mandy Moore needs to cover Mirrorball. Imagine. That was the first thing I thought when I heard it, and it still is the only thought I have about that song. I want Mandy Moore to cover that song. I don't know why. It sounds like a Mandy Moore song to me.
I think Mirrorball might be my favorite on it. I just love the echo on it.
Me too.
And how ethereal it sounds.
I agree.
Also, Betty, the song has a harmonica on it, so of course people are going to love it. Who wouldn't love a harmonica?
Period.
And she swears in it too.
Oh yeah, this bitch is cussing now, but she's been cussing for a minute though, low-key. She said bitches in Reputation on The Man, and I think there's a curse word somewhere in Lover. I don't know. But I think that one of the reasons why this album is so incredible is because she didn't limit herself to her own experiences so she could get dramatic or really specific about something that never happened, but makes you feel like it did. And I just think that is really cool. I think that the fact that it came out in quarantine is actually really important because who knows if she would have made this album otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, like if she genuinely didn't have anything to prove, because she doesn't, because like she can't tour this album anytime soon. She can't like really do much more than like release videos really at this point.
You can't really promote it the normal way.
Yeah. So like, and that's just like, and that is part of Taylor Swift's whole spectacle. So I feel like the fact that she doesn't have to worry about any of that is like important. Like, I think that that says a lot about why she released this right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's also interesting because I'm like, I wonder if it just came along really fast or if she gave herself a deadline.
Yeah.
Because she could have written this and then just kept it in her back pocket until like the world, you know, was looking up again. But she didn't. She wanted it to be out, which says like she cares a lot about it.
Yeah, there's a lot to theorize about this.
Yeah, there's just a lot here, and I think it's just crazy that like she released this with no notice because that's very unlike her.
Mm-hmm.
But in my mind, honestly, I think that Lover is like the last of the era before that, whatever era, like whatever y'all want to say Taylor Swift's era that Broken into, whatever Lover is, that was the last of that one. Like whatever the last era it was, it's over.
This is a demarcation line for her career. Like there's before Folklore and there's after Folklore.
Absolutely. I think that this is like a completely, I'm going to say completely new Taylor Swift. However, it's interesting that, the reason why it's getting so much critical acclaim is because, like, the songwriting and the production of it. And I would say that this songwriting is more similar to her earlier stuff.
Yeah.
Like the storyline of it all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so interesting that, like, when she just went back to, like, what she did best, writing just really good songs about that are, like, a little bit fiction, a little bit not. Like, if you think about this, her one of her biggest hits to date is Love Story. That song is literally...
That's very true.
Like fictional.
That's a very good point.
And it's kind of crazy how, like, we're... Like, even you and I are talking about this as if she's never done this before, but she has multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift is known for blurring the lines of, like, truth and fiction. And as her life got more and more in the public, it became less fiction and less and more, like, yeah, about what's going on. And so I think it's just, like, interesting that now when she doesn't have anything going on in the public, that she's going back to her roots and writing stories again, which is mm-hmm. really cool.
In regards to her music, the going thing has always been that her strongest strength is songwriting. But
yeah,
over time, her persona has become such a big thing about her. And
yeah,
her being the cute country girl going pop, and then she's a snake, and then she's not.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what happens next, because we know the girl isn't done anytime soon. We know that she... is going to be here for a long time. Like,
mm-hmm.
I am really happy that I'm a Taylor Swift fan, because, like, people who are going to be being Taylor Swift fans after Folklore have a lot of homework to do. So I'm glad that I don't have to do that. So yeah. Anyway, I'll say we'll leave it on this. My top three so far, it's been a week, this is subject to change.
Yeah.
Are The One, Cardigan, and Mirrorball.
I think at the moment my top three are Mirrorball, August, and Illicit Affairs.
Period. I'm gonna change mine, actually, because
subject to change, it already changed.
Yeah, I said that Cardigan was my favorite Taylor Swift song, so I feel like I'm gonna X her out and not count her, because I want to say that I think that... Actually, you know what? Scratch all of that. My top three today, that, like, the ones that I would like after this song, the ones I'm probably going to go to listen to,
mm-hmm.
are Exile, actually, Mirrorball, and August. Because, first of all, happy August 1st. Second of all, Leo season. So, yeah. But I genuinely love all of them. I did want to say one quick thing about Hoax. I think that this song reminds me a lot of, like, the stuff she talked about on Reputation, but I noticed that if she's talking about her boyfriend in this song, whenever, like, the things that, like, people are assuming that are about her real life and are about her boyfriend, she always describes her boyfriend as being, like, blue and having, like, a cold heart, which, like, I mean, some of it might not actually be about her boyfriend, but I think that Hoax is, and it's just really interesting that she describes him like that, because I'm like, maybe he has depression.
Uh-huh. Maybe.
I don't know if that's just me not knowing the actual meaning of that song, but
there's so much to decode.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's Taylor Swift. Go check it out.
Yep. I'm assuming most people here have already listened to it, but for the few...
Probably. For the few that haven't, go do that. So, moving on. Taylor Swift released her album in the last possible week that she could before everyone was going to be talking about Miss Beyoncé.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just insane. However, Beyoncé has once again proven that her only competition in terms of providing visuals and concepts is herself.
Mm-hmm.
She is one of the few people to actually have the budget to do the things that she's doing and do it. I think that, like, Gaga could do it, but she's not giving us Netflix, Disney Plus visual albums, girl.
Yeah.
And that is not shade on Gaga. You know I love Gaga. Anywho.
Mm-hmm.
This film is already so important to me and already so important to other Black people. And it's just really hard to put into words how it feels to, like, see yourself represented on screen in a way that you aren't normally represented in.
Yeah.
actually kind of sad because, like, people, like, white people in power in America try so hard to conceal Black people's beauty in our heritage. Like, literally, like, they genuinely, like, try to conceal it from us. And mm-hmm. so it's a little overwhelming and also just, like, really great and nice to see so much Black, so many Black people, one, in any sort of arts production, two, being celebrated in a way that's not like doom and gloom and not like centered around slavery or like racism and like whatever, because it's like not, it really isn't about racism, it's about the Black experience, and it's about like I mean it's about racism and like at its core, but it's like really actually no, it's not at the core of it, it's Black beauty and Black joy and Black liberation. And I just think that it just makes me overwhelmed. It just makes me so happy.
There's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
Well, so everyone had to stay up till 3 a.m., not midnight, 3 a.m., to watch it on Disney Plus.
We did not do that.
We certainly did not do this.
It's funny because if this was 3 years ago, or even a year ago, really, I would have stayed up to listen to it. But, girl, I have to go to work at 9 a.m. I'm sorry. Like, I just couldn't. And it was really, it's kind of weird for me, but I'm kind of glad that I didn't, because I wouldn't have been able to take it all in.
Yeah.
And then I would have been late to work. So.
You got the opportunity to relax, sit down, watch it, take it in. Pause.
Yeah. I do want to say before we get into it, really, me and Austin watched this together. And after we watched it, we also watched Lemonade and Homecoming.
We watched about like 4 hours of Beyonce. So let's just get into it.
Let's just get into it. For those of you who are listening to this because of Taylor Swift but are still here, one, messy. Two, Beyonce made an album. I mean, sorry. Beyonce made a film that is based around her 2019 album, Lion King, The Gift, which was an abstract interpretation of The Lion King.
It was a collection of music from a bunch of people that kind of centered around the themes of The Lion King, but it was still its own thing.
Yeah. And no one who wasn't a Beyonce fan listened to it, which was really annoying. I think this album is incredible, but I'll get to that later. But I would just like to say, says Austin is my witness. I have been streaming The Gift since it came out, and I have been trying to get you white gays to listen to it. I literally, if you go on my Twitter and search like The Gift white gays, there'll probably be like four different tweets all like months apart of me being like, okay, white gays, it's time for you to listen to The Gift now. Because I knew that this album was incredible. So I'm giving myself credit for always knowing that, because I have been genuinely just streaming The Gift since it came out. So this really was a gift for me, someone who did not know this shit was coming out 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And this is also my public PSA. I will never, publicly or in private, doubt Beyonce again. I was kind of fighting with her a little bit because I missed her, and I was just like, what the fuck, Beyonce? Like, where are you? You haven't performed in like a year or like, no, 2 years, I think. Oh my God. Yeah. I think she hasn't like performed.
It's been a while.
Yeah. So I was just like on a stage. So I was like, I just miss her. And it wasn't like me actually being mad at her. It was just me being like, oh, where is Beyonce? You know?
Yeah.
But all the while, it really hadn't even been that long since she'd done anything, because Coachella was only 2 years ago. And then last year was Homecoming. And then also Lion King. So I was just being messy, and I'm allowed to be messy because I'm a stan, so I can do that. But I'm not doing that anymore, because this woman has proven that anytime she's being silent, she's working. And she did tell us she was working on something. So I actually, like, after last September, I was like, okay, cool. But she told us she was working on something. But that was, like, it.
Yeah. She works in the shadows. She retreats to the back. She does what she needs to do. When it's all finished and all perfect, when she as a Virgo says it is acceptable to be released to the public, it comes out.
This woman works so hard and so much. Like, are we forgetting that she literally released Ivy Park this year? Like, this woman, it really kind of was, it's not, I'm not going to say problematic, but it was kind of like annoying of me to say that she hasn't really done anything, because this woman has been nonstop working since, honestly, since Lemonade,
mm-hmm.
if you think about it. So anywho, secondly, about the album being released a year ago, I think that I like that, actually, because it gave us time to get familiar with the songs. So when I was watching it, I didn't have to, like, think about, like, oh, this is a new song, I need to pay attention to the words. It was more of like, oh my god, these visuals are insane.
Mm-hmm.
And third of all, Water Hive, we won. Water's my favorite song from the album, like, before this came out. And I thought it would be funny when people on Twitter would be like, where my water stands at? Because I'd be like, I'm right here! Because everyone was talking about Already for so long. And I was like, yes, Already's amazing. And I'm actually not saying it's not amazing. I'm just like, I also just want people to talk about Water too. So
yeah,
those are my three things before we get started. I want to know what you think about it.
What I think of the movie?
Yes.
I was amazed about the quality, just the sheer quality of it. It mm-hmm. it definitely looks like something that she took patience and time with.
Yeah.
I think that for people that are not Black, I think that this will be a good reintroduction into The Gift, just because it gives mm-hmm. you, so you can see, like, exactly, you can see the Black beauty that she was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the songs are good. She looks great. The clothes are great.
Yeah. I think that, unfortunately, if she would have released the album and this together, I think that it would be even bigger, which is really annoying, because I just feel like, for someone who experienced them separately, because most people are honestly going to experience The Gift, the album, and the movie at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, most of the general public, like, nobody listened to The Gift Girl. Like, and it's sad to say, but it's true.
Yeah.
In their defense, she didn't really promote it.
Mm-hmm.
So, while it is just annoying that, like, people aren't just going to listen to it because it's Beyonce, because I do think she's deserving of people just listening to it because it's Beyonce. Everything she touches is gold, girl. But anyway, I think that it's annoying, but I get it. It's just one of those things.
Yeah.
And I just love to know the reason. But anywho, I would like to know if she made the album with this film in mind, or if she thought of it later. Because I think it's coming off like she thought of the album first and then the film later.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She works in the shadows. She comes back out when she's done.
Yeah. Moving on. I think that it's really weird to say, but I think that it's true. Okay. But I think that Beyonce was holding back until now. Because with Lemonade, we saw like what her mind could achieve. Like, we saw, like, until Lemonade, I feel like people had a certain view of Beyonce and mm-hmm. had made certain assumptions about her music and about her. But I think once Lemonade came out, she proved everyone that, like, no, she is smart. No, she's well cultured. No, she's well studied. Like,
yeah.
Like, I think what Taylor Swift did with Folklore, Beyonce did with Lemonade, which is mm-hmm. a really weird sentence to say. But only saying that because we just talked about folklore.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it makes sense.
I just think that that's when Beyonce, like that's her, it's her masterpiece, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
objectively, you know, to anyone, to any critic. And I feel like after that point, like, after you do Lemonade, after you make a masterpiece, you don't really have to prove yourself anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And so after Lemonade, you know, the first thing that she did that wasn't, like, a continuation of that, such as Everything Is Love and Homecoming, was The Gift. And I think that's really cool because Lemonade was very literal.
Mm-hmm.
It is about a very specific thing, but with The Gift, it's more general and it's more abstract.
Yeah.
And so that way it's more broad, which more people can relate to it. And so in theory, you would think that The Gift would be bigger than Lemonade.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that's not really happening. I don't really know what's going on. Because I deleted Twitter and Instagram before it came out because I didn't want to see any spoilers. And I was expecting, when I came back to Twitter and Instagram, that my entire feed would be talking about Beyonce. And that is not true.
maybe more people need Disney Plus.
Oh, true. I didn't even think about that. That might be a reason why, actually, but still, I think that it's crazy that I got on Twitter and like my friends were talking about it, but even then, like, not as much as I thought that they would. And I'm just so surprised. I think it's because everyone had just literally hasn't seen it yet. I think that it's crazy that there's a Beyonce project that, like, everyone didn't rush to look at.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I also mean it's the timing, girl. Like, the world is in a crazy place right now. And it is kind of crazy to think that she released this in the middle of a pandemic. Like,
everything that's happened, almost the majority of this podcast has talked about stuff that has happened in the middle of a pandemic. It's a miracle that we even have stuff to talk about.
I know. Remember when we thought we weren't going to have anything to talk about?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Did we know?
Little did we know. Anywho, so I just think with Black is King, we finally get to see Beyonce talking her shit. But like I'm not going to say she's never talked her shit because she has. Like, it just feels different now. I don't know why.
For the little that she has talked to us about this, it seems like that she's very passionate about it and that this is a very rewarding project for her.
Yeah. I think that it just seemed like she genuinely had fun making this. I don't know. I just feel like this movie specifically is so important. Like, I think if I had to describe it in one word, I would say important.
Mm-hmm.
Because the representation, it's like hard to explain how significant this movie is to people who aren't Black.
Yep.
Like, I don't know if I have ever seen something that has... Well, I'm not saying I've never, but in the last, like, few years, I don't know if I've seen something that has truly, like, moved me in the way that this moved me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, like, the Beachella documentary definitely moved me, but in a different way.
Uh-huh.
This just, like, moves me, like, as a Black person. I just couldn't have never dreamed of that movie that we just watched. Like, that movie is the epitome of, like, everything. Everything that I care about is represented in that movie. And I think that it's crazy. Like, music, colors, the wood, Black people, love, family, like, choreography. Oh, my God! Blue Ivy. Like, all of the things that I love are in this movie. But the reason why I love it so much is because these are the things that Black people love. It's just, like, it's just, like, an ode. It's a love letter to Black people, and it's just hard to explain to a white person, not to say this is like you, but just in general, that type of feeling. Like, I just don't think white people have ever felt that. And it's like, because you've just always seen yourself represented in a way that was pleasing to people. And it's just so, like, heartwarming. Like, it just makes me so happy to see a Black woman who has been talked about so bad by so many people, cheated on, disrespected, unacknowledged. Like, this woman has gone through so much. And
she gives this.
Yeah. And instead of being sad about it, and instead of being angry about it, which she would have had every single right to be, she channeled that into something gorgeous with Lemonade and with this. And I'm just very proud to be a Beyonce stan. Like, I would be lying if I didn't say that the lack of representation in the media doesn't, like, eat me up inside. Like, it's just something that, like, I'm so used to at this point, but I'm not gonna say it doesn't hurt. The fact that, like, most of the people in this movie were of my skin tone. And that's another thing, and I know that was intentional. Because she, with the song Brown Skin Girl, really, she made it abundantly clear that she was not talking about light-skinned people. She was talking about dark-skinned people.
Mm-hmm.
Often, you know, dark-skinned people are not considered beautiful in the media. And if you think that I'm lying, everyone, Beyonce is not dark-skinned. I know most people probably don't think that. But neither is a dark-skinned person like SZA. She's dark-skinned. Mm-hmm. And Flo Milli. And but like Lizzo is not dark. She's brown skin, but like it's like you don't really real like there are a lot of famous Black people, but if you look at the famous Black people, the number of them that are dark is significantly less than the number of them that are light. And the fact that the main character, the little boy, is like dark skinned Black boy, the fact that all the women or most of the women are dark skinned Black women, it just made me emotional. Like, it just really, like, it just made me so happy to see as a dark-skinned Black woman. It just makes me, it just, like, brings tears of joy to my eyes to know that kids will be able to watch this. Because, like, the girls have Disney Plus. Like, the kids.
Yeah, the children do.
The kids got them, okay? Mm-hmm. And they've been streaming they've been streaming Raven. They've been streaming Lizzie. They've been streaming Hannah. But now it just makes me so happy to know that there can be a little black girl and she can watch this as like a 6-year-old, not really knowing like anything about racism yet, not really knowing anything about colorism yet, and know and see that she's beautiful and see that the people that she comes from are beautiful and that her culture is beautiful, even if she doesn't really comprehend it yet. The movie's just beautiful, so she's gonna psychologically associate herself with that. And for to know that like Beyonce is a part of something that significant to people, like this matters, y'all. Like, this is media that like that changes people, because it's just like the representation, y'all. Like,
just giving images that are not typically seen on TV.
And the fact that it's on Disney is actually really, really important, because for someone who I was only allowed to watch Disney Channel, because my mom was just like, everything else is inappropriate, whatever. So I like know a lot of things about Disney, right? Because I was only allowed to watch Disney Channel, I only saw shows with white people in them, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, that's just how the world was. But now, any kid that goes on Disney Plus for at least like the next 2 weeks, Black is King is going to be right at the top. They're going to click on it. They're going to see, oh, a beautiful Black woman. What's this about? Their mom is probably going to be like, let's watch this together. You know, like, this is so significant because it's a family film. You can't argue that it's not. It's just, oh my God, this woman.
She did it.
Like, yeah, she did. The budget that this woman had.
She used it.
It's just like the significance of her being a Black woman and having this much money and using that money to do this. Oh my God. Anyway, so moving on. Blue, the legend, Ivy. I would just also like to say, for all the girls that thought that I was weird for standing Blue Ivy so long. Ha 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 ha. I won. You didn't. Look at the material. I've been trying to tell you for years. I've been trying to tell y'all for years that Blue Ivy's next Supreme. All the Hive members know it. All the Black people know it. We've been trying to tell y'all. Blue Ivy is the next Beyonce. Like, I never doubted you for a second, Blue Ivy, if you're listening to this. Like, she not only looked incredible, she sounded incredible. Her personality came out so much. And her personality is very confident. She's a confident young woman. She gives you face. She's not going to smile. She doesn't want to. Mm-hmm. She knows she's that bitch. And she's not afraid to say it. And then I'm like, are you surprised? Her mother is Beyonce.
She already gets it when she's 8.
Literally. And, like, first of all, her being a brown skin girl was already a lot for me. Then she was in My Power. I feel like this little girl is like my sister. I have loved this little girl for so long. And it's crazy to know that she's 8, and it's crazy to know that she's growing up. And I'm just so excited to see her personality. And the fact that she's in this movie means that she wants to be in some way with the arts girl. So,
yeah.
Give her a couple of years. JoJo recorded Get Out at 12. Give her a couple of years.
Yeah, by the time she's 16, she might already have 2 albums.
Literally, period. I'm just saying. Blue Ivy is the girl to watch. I've been telling y'all for years. Have I not?
You have.
Thank you. And that being said, I think that My Power might be my favorite video so far. But I don't know if that's true.
They're all very different.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the film itself. We're talking a lot about it. First of all, it was filmed beautifully. The sheer cinematography of this film already sets it above anything she's ever done.
It already sucks you in.
Yeah. This one was on fucking sand dunes and shit. Is that what that's called? What are those called?
Yeah, sand dunes in the desert, on a beach, all over the place.
Like, what the hell? And also, the amount of looks this woman gave. Like, I watched it. I watched like 30 minutes of it before this, and I had already forgotten looks. Like, this must have taken so long to have all those different looks, all those different hairstyles, all those different, like, everything, like, sets, places. I read an article and it said that this was filmed over 3 different continents and multiple different countries. Like, how did nobody know about this?
She took advantage of her budget.
I just feel like, just like, I don't know what else to say about this woman. Like, the choreography. I know that she's so happy that she got to dance, because I feel like with Coachella, like, we know, like, she danced a lot, but it was still very, I feel like there was a great balance of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a lot of dancing, a lot of singing, a lot of production moments, a lot of everything. But I feel like for some reason, this is very choreography heavy to me. Like, the choreography here is very complicated. And I just know that she loved that because she loves to dance. She's like us. She likes to dance.
She just likes to dance.
And I like that she, like I said, since she doesn't really have anything to prove, like, her being silly in a song for a second isn't going to make people not think that she's the greatest. Like, she can just be... She can just finally show everyone else, because we've known her personality for years, but she can finally show her personality in a way that people are still going to take her seriously. And it's sad that she had to do that, but
mm-hmm.
It's true. I loved it. I loved it. I loved every second of it. I'm going to watch it so many more times. I do have a couple of questions. Not to say that this is a bad, but I would like to know the reasoning behind putting the old bigger video in between the new one, because for me it got a little bit lost in translation. Like, it just didn't, for me, I just think the colors didn't really mesh well for mm-hmm. me, and it was just a little jarring to see. But that's just my opinion, but I'm sure that you have a great reason and your explanation is probably great, so I would just love to hear it. And the second one is, what were Kendrick Lamar and Childish Gambino doing that they just couldn't come?
Did they miss the plane?
And Michelle. What's going on? And I would have loved to see Solange, but, you know, that's fine. These aren't really critiques. These are more just questions.
They're observations.
Observations. But I wanted to get that in, out the way, just in case you hear this. I have to say this on record on this podcast, because I'm not going to say this again.
Okay.
Ever again. For everyone who has the criticism of Beyonce that she's overrated, or that she, I don't know, something stupid, listen up. And if you're white, you have to listen, or you're racist. And I'm saying that as a black person, because this is important. I think that it is really important for white people to see this and to have a piece of media where blackness is celebrated. However, it feels so nice to have something that is just for black people and to have it overtly known that it's for black people, okay? And if you think after watching this film and after watching Coachella or even Lemonade or whatever, and you think that Beyonce is overrated in the year of our Lord Blue Ivy 2020, something's wrong with you. Because not only are you wrong and need to be called out on this, you're making the assumption that Beyonce isn't deserving of all the praise that she receives, because she is deserving of it. Because if you even watched any project that I just mentioned, you would see the hard work and the details and the studying and the effort and the importance of the things that she's doing. And if you're disagreeing with all that, you're simply just wrong, because it's just factually not true. And you will see that after watching all these things, it's people like you saying that she's overrated that actually make her underrated and underappreciated, because she has not been given the proper credits at award shows. She has been snubbed multiple times, and I'm not going to go into that. All Beyonce does is mind her business. Literally, she does not bother us at all. All Beyonce does is mind her business, work really hard in secret for a couple of years, months, puts out her shit, does a cute little promotion, and goes back into hiding and does it again.
And just keep working again.
And Beyonce does not bother y'all enough for her to be overrated. Beyonce does not do as many things as your fave, because Beyonce's catalog, although amazing, she could have a lot more, because we know the bitch has tons of unreleased music. But your girls love to release music. Ain't nobody complaining that Ariana Grande is releasing songs. The girl loves to release music. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, Beyonce is very calculated and is only releases music when she feels like she needs to. And when you realize all of that, it makes you reconsider, do you not like Beyonce because she's overrated? Or do you just hate to see black women getting praised for something?
Mm-hmm.
Because it just doesn't make sense. Like, you're just bandwagoning on this Beyonce's overrated thing, and it doesn't logically make sense. Someone can't be overrated when she was never properly rated. I mean she was, but like, not the Beyonce she is now.
Yeah.
And it's just, I just think it's so funny how every person, if someone says that they don't like Beyonce, and this isn't someone who's saying like, I like Beyonce, I respect Beyonce, I just don't care about her music. Sure.
Yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm. that's fine. I'm like, at the end of the day, people just have different tastes in music.
The music that you like to listen to and the music you don't, not everyone's going to like everything.
Right. But if you're someone who actively does not like Beyonce or consciously doesn't like her because you think she's overrated or because you think that, like, excuse me, I don't know, what she does and isn't all that, you're just wrong. And if you're white, especially, I need you to reconsider why you think that, because Beyonce hasn't done shit to anyone. Like, Beyonce literally, like, when you really think about it, Beyonce has not had any controversies with anyone in so long. Like, I can't even think of the last public, like, feud or anything. Beyonce doesn't have drama with other people. She's a good person. That's a comma, not an addition. She does so many good things for people.
Mm-hmm.
She makes incredible music. She makes incredible music for Black people. She makes culturally relevant music. She teaches people things with her music. She does all of these things, and yet people... Oh, and I also have to talk about this for a second. People love to say this new thing that Beyonce is calling for the Wakandification of the Black community. Bitch, are you stupid? Is it crack that you're smoking? Because this shit don't make no sense. Beyonce appreciating her heritage. Like, people people forgetting that Beyonce is Black. Beyonce is Black. That, therefore, she's entitled to use her African heritage however she sees fit. Like,
mm-hmm.
whether you like it or not, bitch, her ancestors are from Africa just like ours. Hello? So Beyonce connecting with her heritage and broadcasting that to the world in itself shouldn't even offend people because it's her fucking heritage. Secondly, her doing that is not saying that she wants the Black community to be like a Wakanda or whatever the fuck. No, it's not Wakanda, girl. Wakanda was fictional. This shit's real. All the shit that she's portraying in this movie exist. Like, all the cultural things that she's saying exists. So she's not calling for the Wakandification of anything, girl. She's bringing light to things that literally already exist. So you sound stupid. Anyway. That's what I want to say about that. Now for the stands. This is just for the stands, if you wanted to know. I think that this is her best album to date, and I think it's also her best album. This is controversial, but after giving it some thought, I think that The Gift might be her best album because, like I said earlier, I think that it reaches more people, and I think that the cultural significance is... I don't like saying it like this because I don't want to say that, like, one thing is more significant than the other, but I do think that she's just talking about, in my mind, it's like she's talking about so many things with this album, but with Lemonade, because I know y'all going to say Lemonade, it's just like it's a couple of things too, but it's like really like infidelity is like the main issue and like the causes of infidelity and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is just like about being Black and about appreciating that, right? So I feel like in my mind, I just think that for her to go out of herself and make an album about a community of people is really significant to me. And that, with also the vocals, the lyrics, the timing of this, everyone, we're also in the middle of a race war, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, the protest happened after this was made, obviously. But still is worth it to say that the timing of this in the middle of this huge racial crisis, you know, is also important because, in a way, it's like another thing to be like, listen, Black people are beautiful. Stop killing us. Even though she didn't say that at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another reason why Black lives need to be preserved. And I think that... it's kind of like rebranding in a way for Beyonce. I think that, like, who she, even, it's weird to think, but even who she was Lemonade, I think she's changed already again. It's crazy.
She's evolved.
She's evolving. And she just has nothing to prove. And I think this is her best album to date. I think that it really is.
Mm-hmm. For the white people that are listening to this, I think it's very important that if you haven't seen it, that you should go see it, just because it's not made for white people.
You need to consume media that's not about you.
Yeah. Stuff is, it's, parts of it are going to go over your head. Parts of it went over my head, but it's important that everyone see this movie.
Period. Thank you for saying that. I just can't imagine what she's going to do next. I don't even care. To be honest, I'm not questioning her anymore. I'm not expecting anything else from her. I think that, I just like Beyonce, and yes, over anyone else that I've ever musically liked. She has changed my life the most.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this woman means so much to me. Like, most people that know me know first and foremost, like, I am a Beyonce stan. Like, you know, like, that is my title. And so a lot of people, I am the resident, like, Beyonce stan in their lives, which I don't really understand because it's mind-boggling to me that people aren't also Beyonce stans, but, you know, whatever. But, you know, recent events have happened and I have once gotten re-familiarized with the legend Mariah Carey.
But you're still over in the Beyonce camp.
Yeah, it's funny because me and Beyonce are both standing Mariah. You know, it's different. It's a whole different thing. Because Mariah isn't doing this. And that's something I wanted to say real quick. Mariah Carey, if you're listening to this, hey girl, I love you. I want to meet you. And I think that we could do this. I think that we could make, I want a Mariah Carey concept album. I want her to give me storyline. I want her to give me visuals. I want her to do visuals more, I think. That's what I want from Mariah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just me. That's from a standpoint of view. I just want to see that. Anywho. So yeah. So me being the resident Beyonce stan, like, for honestly, like 7 years, I think I became a stan when Self Titled came out. And in my mind, I always felt that that was so late, but I was like, I was 12. I was 13.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus, you know, like, shit.
That's around the time that people learn to stan.
Yeah. So I've been a stan for a long time now, almost a decade, which is kind of crazy. At this point, I don't really know what else I can say that hasn't already been said. Like, I just don't. She's just the best. Like, she's just the epitome of hard work.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to rehearse.
So overall,
it made me so happy to, one, see Beyonce again, two, see her just genuinely having fun and dancing and partying with all these Black people. Three, to have more choreo to learn. Jesus, I have to get started on that. And four, you know, this was the last big thing that we saw Beyonce do was Coachella and Everything Is Love. Because when The Lion King came out, like, yeah, she did a couple of, like, press things, and yeah, she released The Gift, but she didn't really promote The Gift. She didn't perform. So it's kind of like a thing that happened, but, like not this whole spectacle. Mm-hmm. So I love that with this movie, we got new. It was completely different. Like, I just love that this album is just so fresh. Like, it's not about her life. It's not about Black women. It's not about Black men. It's about everything. Like, it's
far reaching.
It's far reaching. And I think that, like, it was just, it's just refreshing, you know? Mm-hmm. This album feels like a hug. Like a hug from my ancestors. Black Parade is a period. And yeah, I think Black Parade might be, she's fighting formation for my favorite Beyonce song right now. Mm. Which is crazy because, like, although I've been a stan for so long, I think it's interesting that my favorite Beyonce songs are her more recent ones. Not to say I don't love the old ones, because don't get it fucking twisted, bitch. But I don't know, I just really love Black Parade. It makes me think of my aunt. Or just, like, it makes me think of my family because of the things she's talking about. Like, my family did a lot of the things that she talks about, like the incense and the unks and the, I love that song. Anywho, so those are what I have to say. Masterpiece. I'm so glad that it exists. I'm so glad that I saw it. I'm so happy to see it again. Can't wait.
My favorite song is Find Your Way Back.
Period. Oh, also, me putting this out in the universe, I want to see a Beyonce, and stay with me, everyone, a Beyonce and Charlie collab, or a Beyonce and Sophie collab, or produce song. I don't think they should collab, but I think that they should produce a song for her, because I think that Beyonce could do it.
Beyonce and experimental electronic music somewhere.
I think that she could do it. Like, I think that it would be really cool if it was her voice, but they used auto-tune and stuff on it. But, like, the runs that she does, I think that they could really have fun with that. I think that that would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that I want Adele to collaborate with Calvin Harris. I think that she could do it. And I just have this idea in my brain. And
you just got to call up the Parkwood A&R and just be like, listen.
No, yeah, that's why I want to be an A&R so bad. Like, I just have these ideas and I'm so close and I'm just trying to make them happen. But anyway, so yeah, I'm done.
Said all that I need to say.
Period. Well, as always, thanks for listening, y'all.
Thank you so much.
These albums both mean a lot to me, but for different reasons. And I just know that, you know, the summer's kind of winding down, which is weird. But this year, although shitty, you know, the shittiest, some may say.
Yeah.
But also, this year has been such a good year for music. And some of it wouldn't even have happened if the year wasn't so shitty.
And the dichotomy of that situation.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Anyway, so thanks for listening. Submit your reviews of Black is King or Folklore.
Or any other album that you've listened to this year.
I would love to hear your critiques. I love hearing people's opinions about music, obviously.
Mm-hmm. We'll read the best on our New Year's Eve show. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Pop Daydreams.
Please tweet us. I want our listeners to interact with us more on Twitter.
We love to hear what you have to say.
I genuinely do. Like, this isn't me saying that because I just want the engagement. Like, I want to know what people...
We're manifesting.
Yeah. Okay. And, also, happy Leo season. Woo! Anyway, so with that being said, I'm Kiera.
And I'm Austin.
And this is my daydreams. Bye.
Bye-bye.